Mouthing Off is a theater, arts, and culture podcast from Bad Mouth Theater Company in St. Paul, Minnesota. I'm Amanda Forstrom.
I'm Kevin Couchman.
And I'm Mari Sittner. Mouthing Off features compelling interviews and discussions with artists and creators from around the Twin Cities and beyond.
Tune in for something different online where you get your podcasts at badmouthtc.com and on the air in St. Paul through Frogtown Radio 94.1 FM.
And if you've got something going on around the Twin Cities you'd like to talk about, we want to hear from you. Email us at badmouthtc@gmail.com.
Mouthing Off is sponsored by Minnesota Playlist, the digital destination for live performing arts. Producers can find talent to work with, directors can cast productions with audition ads, teachers can find students with a classified, and audiences can find the perfect show to attend on the state's largest calendar of theater and dance shows. Find out more at minnesotaplaylist.com.
We hope you enjoy the show.
We're back with another very special episode of Mouthing Off, the Theater Arts and Culture Podcast for the Twin Cities and beyond. And we are going to be coming to you from across the pond here on Mouthing Off from Bad Mouth Theater Company. We've got a reading of a very interesting play, The Making of She and I, by the great Ross Howard. And I have Mari Sittner with me, who features in the play, and Amanda Forstrom. Mari, how are you?
I'm doing good. I mean, we're hot off doing this reading that everybody's about to enjoy on something I think we're experts on, you know, podcasts.
Yeah, we're
so, it's great.
Podcasters catching accusations. We're in the hot seat now. And Amanda, you play opposite Mari in this reading of a new play. How are you, Amanda? Are you surviving the cold here in Minnesota?
I'm doing fantastic so far. You know, it's beautiful when you get some white stuff. But when the wind comes up, not so great. So,
yeah,
you know, yeah. Thus far, no wind, negative below zero.
So right.
Okay.
It was funny because when we started doing the rehearsal for this, I had to switch from Fahrenheit to Celsius to show our colleagues. And then they understood why I was griping. It gets
yes.
awfully cold pretty early in Minnesota. So this reading features the talents of Angela Dixon, Amanda Forstrom, who you just heard from, Violet Patton Ryder, and Mari Sittner, friend of the show, host of the show, who's right here. And written by the great, like I said, Ross Howard. He is a playwright, a British playwright, but with a lot of American connection. And I think this play is very interesting in that it features parts for four women. Two are over here, two are over there. And I don't want to go too much into it, but I think it's very well written in that the voices of the characters are very authentic to the places from whence they come. Is that fair to say? Would you both say that? Okay. And this is a play about right-wing lady podcasters catching accusations and more. And what it's the consequences of podcasting and its consequences have been a disaster for the human race. Would be another maybe that's another episode. In any case, please enjoy The Making of She and I by Ross Howard. The Making of She and I by Ross Howard. 1. December. Charlotte and Emily are at their family home in Linton, Cambridge. Charlotte has a glass of wine in her hand, and it is not her first of the evening. Emily is pedaling on an exercise bike and wearing headphones.
Who's this bloke you're seeing?
I'm not staying here for New Year.
Can you please just stop that?
What?
Pedaling that thing.
Why?
Because I'm trying to talk to you.
I'm not stopping you talking.
You are.
How?
Because it's fucking annoying. Emily.
Emily stops pedaling.
Charlotte? What? What is it?
Thank you. What were you listening to?
Nothing much.
Who's this guy you're seeing?
Rest. She gone to bed.
Mum?
No, Mary Queen of Scots. Yes, Mum. Who else? Is she in bed?
I think she's reading.
In bed?
Yes. I thought you were asking whether she was asleep. She's in bed, but you can hear her reading.
How do you hear someone reading?
You hear them turning pages and laughing. Sometimes people laugh when they read. I heard her crying before, though.
Must be a good book.
No, this was before she went to bed, before she started reading.
Yeah, well, must have been the wine. She always cries when she drinks wine.
You were kind of rude to her earlier. She made a lot of effort. It was always going to be an emotional day for us, but you were just a bitch.
Merry Christmas to you too.
Anyway, I think it's important we're together this year.
Well, we are, aren't we?
We always spend New Year's Day together.
When Dad was alive. Now he's not.
And that's why it's important.
I'm not staying for New Year.
Who is he then? He's not another Arsenal season ticket holder, is he?
God, you're all such fucking...
Okay. I'm joking. What were you going to say? Snobs?
No, actually.
We were just teasing.
You're...
What?
Indoctrinated.
Indoctrinated? Oh, do tell.
Why Dandy Leaf?
Because I told him you and I needed some time alone. Come downstairs for a drink. There's lots of wine and gin. We can get pissed.
No, thanks. I'm sure you'll manage that just fine without me.
Come downstairs and play something on the piano then. For me? What do you mean indoctrinated? I mean, you say some weird shit these days, you know that. Is this from that new bloke you're dating? You just parrot all the crap he comes out with. Because if you do, you can tell him from me, he sounds like a dick.
Forget it. You wouldn't understand.
And his band are playing at the Junction on Friday.
He said.
You should come.
I'll be back in London.
Not if you stay.
I'm not going to. Are you not bored of it yet?
Who? What?
Andy. His band. The whole thing.
No. I love him, Emily.
You're 33.
Thanks.
Like, nothing has changed in the 5 years.
6 years.
6 years you've been together, and you're still watching him play at the Junction.
It's what he loves to do.
You don't, like, want more?
Like what? We're going to buy a house.
When? You've been saying that for the last 4 years, and it'll be you buying the house.
He's not unemployed.
He works for a charity.
I think that's nice.
How about someone who can give money to a charity? You could do better.
You mean get a sugar daddy?
No, just someone you can at least plan some sort of life with. Someone like Dad.
How do you know that we don't want a family?
Because you'd have done it already. You're practically a mum to him already. And you're an overworked, underpaid secondary school English teacher.
At least I have a job.
I'm temping.
Mum was a secondary school English teacher.
After she had me, and Dad helped her out.
Money's not everything.
It's not about money, it's having some sort of life, and about some kind of direction and purpose.
What are you saying?
I'm saying you're getting double-teamed and fucked hard. And not in a good way.
Emily!
Emily starts pedaling again. 2. December. Lucia and Kim are in Lucia's home studio in Linton, Indiana. They have headphones around their necks and microphones in front of them.
What's the big secret?
Will you let it go?
Let it go? Are you fucking kidding me? I'm not going to let it go. This is huge.
Fine. It's a big deal. But it's getting late. Can we just record our intros and deal with this later? And it was just an inquiry. Hardly anything right now.
Just show me the email.
Later.
Why are they emailing you and not the show? How they've got your personal email?
I have no idea.
I don't get what you're being so aloof about. I'm about ready to shit my pants.
Look, we're not remotely at the shitting our pants stage yet. It was an inquiry. Who knows? It might be fake. We need to verify it.
What, like a prank?
Perhaps.
It's not a prank.
After the week we've had, it could easily be a prank.
Oh, I see. Right.
But if it's not...
I know, right?
No, I mean, if it's not, do we even need it?
Are you serious?
Seriously, I'm not sure we do.
Why would you say a thing like that? It's satellite radio. It's like going to the pros.
Yeah, with bosses and regulation and compromise. We're way more than that. Anyway, we'll talk about it later. Let's get these bits done.
We've worked our asses off to get to this point. This would be like our career. We'd be legit.
Like you need the money?
No, I don't need the money. Do you need the money?
No, I don't need the money. I don't even know if there is any money. Anyway, just let it go for now. Come on.
Ugh, this is so exciting. Sorry. Well, now there's every reason to retract last week.
Excuse me?
Oh, come on. Why risk jeopardizing anything in the future?
I'm not going to retract anything.
Lucia, just clarify what you meant to say.
I don't need to clarify anything.
Address it, then.
I'm addressing it. You'll see.
I think you should address it.
Look, I'm going to address it now, in the monologue.
Can I look at it?
What?
What you're going to say.
Look at it. You're going to hear it right now if you can just shut the fuck up.
I'd like to continue this discussion before you record it.
We don't have time.
You said that last week that you would edit that part out, and you didn't, and you put it out.
I said I would review it.
You were out of line. My name is on this thing.
So's mine.
After tonight, I don't want to record again without Natalie. We need a third person in here all the time. The last few weeks, you've been running the show.
If I'm running the show, it's because I know how to run the soundboard and I know how to edit. Just some of the things you've never bothered to learn.
So you exploit that.
Let's call it a night.
No, I'm sorry. Do the pieces. We should get this out.
It's got to you this last week. I can tell.
No, I mean, well, I've had better weeks, you know. It's not so great to read.
I don't know why you look at that stuff.
What?
Reading all that negative crap online. Who cares what a bunch of social justice warriors write in their blogs or share in their social media?
I don't.
It kind of looks like you do. You just love to be liked. It's your weakness. We don't change anything. What do you think got us to this point? It wasn't tiptoeing through the tulips.
I don't want to be known as some fucking racist.
It wasn't racist.
Look, I know that. You know that, but for some folk...
What?
You just didn't need to go there. It wasn't exactly racist, but it sounded racist. It, I don't know, rhymed with racist.
Did you not agree with what I said? In respect to the caller, her issue, and what she needed to hear? Did it help her?
Yes, but that's not the point.
Then what the hell is the point? That's exactly what we're meant to do. Do you agree with what I said?
I already said I did.
Well then... It's the truth. We both agree on it. Yes, things flared up a little in certain quarters, but hey, we got a little more exposure. I sold more books. I think the whole episode has been a triumph.
I have a family. You too. Our kids are in Little League. They're in track meets. They hang out with other kids who have parents. I'm just saying we don't need to go there. It's okay to be a little politically incorrect, poking fun at feminazis and kooky liberals, etc. But as long as we're authentic, or heck, even if it is just a bit of fun, I don't mind going there. But can we stay out of talking about race? It's just not worth it.
We were asked a question by a caller.
And you could have gone in another direction entirely. She didn't mention race at all. You dug it out of her. You squeezed it out of her so you could make your big point.
Wait, you think I planned that? You think it was premeditated?
It crossed my mind.
Why would I even do that?
Lately, you push a little. You said yourself, we got more exposure. You sold more books. Honestly, I think you're taking advantage of the moment. Look, we are in a moment right now. Our country is in a moment, and believe me, I like where it's going. I like how people are finally waking up and having the courage to speak out and stand up. I'm proud of what we've done, and I'm proud to be conservative. I don't want to be an asshole, and I don't like people thinking you are one either.
And now you see yourself on satellite radio, and with the stakes now higher, you want to keep your nose clean.
Well, is that so wrong?
No, but it's interesting. And perfectly understandable. Let's do the bits. Count me in.
Okay. 3, 2, 1.
Hey, folks. Season's greetings. We are coming up to the waning days of 2016. The days of festivity, of wine and food and family and of good conversation. But before we dive into the calls, and we had some great ones tonight, didn't we, Kim?
We sure did.
Some great conversations. Some, what would you say, paths well trodden?
Definitely some old chestnuts.
Very familiar dating and marital dilemmas to us here at the Bottom Line podcast.
The BLP.
The BLP. As well as something I don't think we've ever come across before from Norma?
Gina from Bakersfield.
Gina from Bakersfield. God bless Gina. Norma, too. She was the one before Gina, right? Anyway, before we let you all hear that, we're going to give you a little review of the year and the show and address some of the events of last week. And I, personally, want to talk a little bit about greed. About greed, being greedy, and envy. I want to talk about envy and greed and weakness and strength. Now, full disclosure, Kim and I at the Bottom Line podcast, we're greedy. Ain't that right, Kim?
You betcha.
You want to know how greedy? Kim is going to throw some numbers at y'all. Go right ahead, Kim.
Okay, so total podcasts published.
Wait, just to explain, this is probably the best marker because we publish lots of the call-in shows, as you know. The separate calls in the call-in shows are published as separate videos. But as far as total podcasts published, that's the best way to determine
just how we're doing.
The progress we're making. So here goes, and pay attention.
Okay, so as a comparison, in 2014, we did a total of 301 shows. Pretty impressive.
Not too shabby.
In 2015, we dipped a little and did 286, so we were slacking that year. But in 2016, and I still don't believe this.
Believe it, girl.
This right now will be our 379th show in 2016.
379 shows in 2016. Now, ain't that something?
So obviously more shows means more downloads, but it's more downloads by a significant margin, more than just more downloads per show. So again, just as a comparison, in 2014, in podcast downloads, we got around 19 million, just about.
Not bad at all.
2015, it was up to 21 million podcast downloads. Again, not bad. That was a 10.5% increase from the previous year.
And 2016?
In 2016,
drumroll,
we went from 21 million to 61 million, which is a 190% increase from 2015, or a 221% increase from 2014. Podcast downloads have gone through the roof this year.
I'm incredibly proud of the work Kim and I, and not forgetting producer Natalie, did this year. The influence of the show and how much it's growing, it's been a breakout year for us. And we thank you all for your support. And to you, the listeners, know that what we've achieved as a community. And we want to continue giving you guys what you want. We're a market-facing organization, and we want to continue pleasing the folks. And we want to achieve more. And why is that, Kim?
Because we're greedy.
Now, with greed. The greed we're talking about?
Good greed.
Yes, the good greed. With that comes success. And of course, with success, there comes envy from others. And I want to talk about how we face that envy together as a community, and how we must remain united and strong and not let the arrows of envy that come our way wound us and weaken us. There's an old parable, not biblical, it's a fable, about when a greedy man and an envious man met a king. And the king told both the greedy man and the envious man they could ask him for anything and he would give it to them, provided he gave twice as much to the other man. Now, the envious man didn't want to ask first because he'd be envious of the greedy man getting twice as much. And the greedy man didn't want to ask first since he wanted everything to be had. So they flipped a coin and the envious man lost. And in all his toxic weakness and envy, he asked the king to pluck out one of his eyes. He sacrificed an eye, leaving the greedy man with the grand prize of, Kim?
Losing both his eyes.
That's right. Folks, there are formidable forces out there. Envious forces. Like the envious man, they sacrifice parts of themselves In this case, parts like honesty and integrity and reason, so that we can be kept in the dark, so we can't see the truth. They too want us blinded. Now, last Sunday, we had a caller on the show, Rachel. Nice girl. She was the best, right? Very nice young woman. Now, Rachel is of high sexual market value. She described herself as an 8 or 9. Great childhood, fantastic parents, goes to the gym, good job, doesn't dress like a whore. She is what we all know to be a catch. And Rachel called in asking for our advice, voicing her frustration that whenever she went out to bars and clubs with her girlfriends, or in this case, a particular girlfriend, almost every guy she encountered would grope Rachel and want to jump her bones right there and then. No connection or conversation, no dates, no invitations for dinner or a movie. No, straight to, hey girl, let's play a game of hide the salami. And it wasn't as if Rachel was going to dive bars and crack dens. These were nice bars with, on the surface, good clientele. Handsome and professional men. Lots of 8s, 9s, and 10s. Insane, right? So, Kim and I probed Rachel, and we delved a little deeper and asked her who she went to these bars and clubs with. Who was her wingwoman? Didn't we, Kim?
You did indeed.
And Rachel. Rachel revealed something interesting. Rachel goes to these places with her friend, Ava. And Ava happens to be a young and beautiful and vivacious Hispanic woman. We then asked Rachel whether she could recall whether this situation with guys has always been this way or just when she's out with Ava. Again, something interesting. Rachel thought about it and confessed that this didn't happen when she went out with her other friends, her white friends, Eureka. Now, we could have let this go. We could have been politically correct. We could have said, gee, Rachel, I don't know what to tell you. Maybe just a coincidence. Like it was some supernatural phenomenon. Like it was some big mystery. But I simply said, maybe. They objectify Ava in a certain way, and you too by association. Maybe to get a 9 or a 10 man with high market value, not living in his mother's basement, can afford to take you out to dinner for once in a while, you don't go man fishing with Ava, or something to that effect. You can listen to the whole call yourself. I did not say anything racist. I didn't condone anything racist. I just told Rachel the truth based on the empirical data Rachel provided. As we've said many times on this podcast, a wing woman has a role to play, whether she's your best friend, your platonic soulmate, or saved you from drowning in a lake when you were younger, is irrelevant. A wing woman has got to be fit for the purpose, for the job in hand. You don't get a plumber to fix your fuse box. To put it another way, simply, we gave her the bottom line, which is what we do here on the Bottom Line podcast with Lucia and Kim. And so we dropped the podcast early Monday, as we always do, and it wasn't long before the bullying, anti-free speech brigade, the virtue signalers, and the crooked social justice obsessed media fought back. The snowflakes went crazy. The social media shares, the message boards, the memes just blew right up. You know the drill by now, that Kim and I, we're rednecks, that we are alt-right, white supremacists, bigots, and the white privilege BS, yada, yada, yada. You Nazis, you know? Because suddenly everyone's a historian these days. What was the nickname they gave you?
A filth.
A what?
Fascist I'd like to fuck.
Wow. I didn't see that. No, the other one.
Oh, Ku Klux Kim.
Ku Klux Kim. Now, we both stand by my advice to Rachel. And for those who haven't listened, as I say, you're more than welcome. Roll the tape. And I want to add that the podcast got the most downloads of any others we published in December. Because here's the thing, compadres. What the thought police and failing anti-free speech media don't get is that the kind of candor that's our USP here at the BLP is what people crave.
The numbers don't lie. And the compromised, dishonest reporting and resources used to demonize us continues to backfire. And so now I issue this challenge to you all. It is up to you now to share and to subscribe and tell people about this podcast. You know we don't spend money advertising the show, because stand up and take a bow, people. It is you that have made what we do possible. We are the match, but you are the ones that strike it and turn it into fireworks that the world can see. And we want to do more in 2017. We want to do some upgrades. We want to do some expansions. And we need you for that. So do the right thing and go to thebottomlinepod.com/donate. We are moving the needle here, people. We are moving the needle. We have a really big fight coming up. There's all this fake news pushback and cultural Marxist groupthink saying this is true and this is false, because Lord knows they've been doing such a great job of discerning that lately. So we're going to get a lot of pushback. There's going to be an attempt to discredit and submerge this kind of information. And we're going to need resources to overcome that. We look forward to your anticipated support. So please, give us what we need to get the job done. We have proven we are able to deliver. Make what we're doing possible. Thank you. Well,
that wasn't a retraction.
It's too late to be scared. We don't need to be on satellite radio.
3. As before, same scene. Charlotte has a glass of wine in her hand, and Emily is pedaling on the exercise bike and wearing headphones.
I thought you liked Andy.
I did. He's nice. He's cute.
He is.
Like a puppy.
The world's changed. It's different to when Mum and Dad were younger.
Yeah, that's what most childless, mediocre 30-somethings say to each other to make themselves feel better.
Do not get pregnant with this guy, if that's what you're thinking. I mean, how long have you been seeing him? 3 weeks?
Who said anything about that? We're talking about you and Andy.
Andy and I are just doing fine. And who says I even want what you're talking about anyway?
You did. You said you were looking to buy a house and start a family.
Yes, maybe now. I wouldn't have wanted that when I was your age.
You wanted to devote more time to your high-flying career, you mean?
Listen, come back to me when you've actually got a job, okay? And then we'll talk.
Okay. I thought you wanted to talk now.
Mum and I think you should go and see someone.
For what?
It doesn't seem like... Look, it's been a rough year for all of us, what with the death of Dad, but you're... I don't know, it's more than that. You seem angry. You seem angry at, I don't know, and me and Mum, at the world.
World's fine. I'm fine with the world.
And you broke up with Matt. Why was that?
Matt was like Andy. He was weak.
He fucking loved you. You quit your job.
You didn't quit any job.
It was a steady gig.
It was a fixed-term contract and it ended. Anyway, the commute was long and the work was boring. I'm fine with that.
And you start dating all these Neanderthals. They're not your type at all.
What's my type?
Your type is my type. We have a type.
We're not twins.
There you go again. You're so...
What?
So distant.
Emily stops pedaling.
I think you're angry. I think you're depressed. I think you've been depressed all your life. I think your life and your filter on the world is depressing.
I am not depressed.
You want me to stop working out and go down and drink with you until you can barely see straight and hardly fucking speak?
It's Christmas Day.
And I don't think either of you have forgiven Dad for refusing treatment. And now he's out of sight, he's out of mind, right? At dinner, neither of you even mentioned him. First Christmas dinner without him, and you didn't even acknowledge it.
Emily.
But carrots and sprouts, oh, we can talk for 10 minutes about those. And making fun of a random bloke who I went out with for, like, a month.
What, Arsenal?
Yeah, and what about him?
Arsenal? They're like shit.
You don't know anything about football.
Emily starts pedaling again.
Andy's band are shit. They're completely derivative, and all their songs sound the same.
They are not shit. And if their songs sound a bit similar, it's because, well, it's because they have a consistent sound.
Neanderthals. Why don't you just admit you have Why don't you just admit you have trust issues with men?
I don't have trust issues with men. I'm in a relationship.
Yeah, with a puppy who can't hurt you. Because really, because deep down, you're just fond of him. He and you both had the floor at dinner, though, didn't you? Constantly taking the piss. You smug fuckers. What the fuck do you two have to be so smug about?
Emily, I'm sorry.
It's been a tough year with what happened to Dad. Give me a fucking break. I think you and Mum have been just fine together without him.
What? That's a horrible thing to say.
You're like a little team, and the only reason she's crying in there now is because I won't go along with this bullshit, and she knows I'm onto you both. You should both be ashamed of yourselves.
Keep your voice down. She'll hear.
I don't care if she hears me.
What the fuck? Well, yes. Dad refusing treatment was a selfish thing to do. And it was a really selfish decision, and it affected all of us. And yes, I'm still angry about that, and I know Mum is too. But we still love him. We still miss him desperately. And we're sad he's gone.
Right.
We just didn't want today to be all morbid.
Maybe he just really wanted to die. You ever thought about that?
Stop it.
Emily stops peddling.
Maybe he didn't fancy another Christmas in this house with the constant belittling and challenging and pecking and teasing. Maybe he didn't want another Christmas in the house where he wasn't allowed to so much carve the fucking turkey because we all said it was some cliched symbol of patriarchy and all the rest of the pseudo-intellectual man-hating shit that you and Mum came out with.
We didn't mean him, and he knew we loved him, and you would say those things too.
You're right. I'm not exempt from this either. I used to just go right along with you both on all that crap, thinking we were all so with it and so fucking clever. Well, look at us now. Look at our lives. It's crippled us all. We're a family of fucking nobodies with a dead dad.
You don't mean that.
Well, not me. Not anymore. I actually want to get what I want in life.
Emily starts pedaling again.
Emily!
Charlotte exits abruptly. Emily continues to pedal. 4. Late February. Charlotte and Kim are video chatting with each other. So too are Emily and Lucia.
Say that again. I hit mute by accident.
I said I'm sorry, but that's hard to believe. I've listened to a lot of your podcasts the last few weeks, and it's mentioned all the time. How could you not know?
It's a controversial idea, yes, but it's a concept that's been practiced for decades.
So you believe in it?
It's more Lucia's thing.
How do I know you're not just protecting her?
Lucia?
Yes.
Well, you'll just have to trust me.
I want my sister back.
And I said I'd help you.
Did you tell your work colleagues why?
I told them what I've told everyone, that my family of original origin is crazy, that they're emotionally abusive, and that I had to cut them out of my life.
Right. Still, coming all that way to London just to settle for dropping a note to you at reception, it's unusual.
It's only half an hour on the train from Cambridge.
I'm surprised she wasn't waiting outside when you got out of work. That happens all the time.
Really?
Oh, sure. Or if they follow you, find out where you're living, if they didn't know already. How's the new place? The new flat?
I like it. My housemates are nice.
Are you dating?
There's been one or two. I was on my own for Valentine's Day.
We did a special podcast for people like that.
Tell me about your mom.
You're going to psychoanalyze me now.
No, you said she's become seriously ill.
It's her heart. It's serious. The heart's not pumping enough blood around the body at the right pressure or something.
And you put that down to what's happened with your sister?
Wait, you've frozen. Nope, you're back.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes. No, I've been happy. I mean, I feel free.
But you're troubled by this note.
The card? Honestly? Yes.
Do you think your sister is telling you the truth about your mom?
What, that she's ill?
That she's seriously ill and that you've made her seriously ill by now leaving the family?
You don't, it sounds like.
Well, I think it's incredibly manipulative, indicative of the abusive home and life you've left behind. You don't seem convinced.
And you all lost your dad last year, right?
Yes.
Believe me, Charlotte, when I tell you, I don't get involved in any of this.
Emily?
Yes?
Pay attention.
Okay.
Your mom is not seriously ill.
Right.
What she is probably very upset and very angry, just like your sister is upset and very angry. Abusers get very upset and very angry when their victim escapes, and they go chasing you, and they will say anything to get you to come back.
I understand.
You remember Emily calling into the show last summer?
Yes, I remember her. And after the email you sent, I listened to that episode again. Why?
I found it chilling. The way she talked about herself, her life, our dad and me and my mum. The way she talked about her childhoods. It wasn't real. It was like she was talking about someone else, some other family entirely.
What if I go back and see for myself?
What? Retract what you said? Reconcile, be seen by them from then on as psychologically unstable, and take the abuse to keep her alive? Sounds like an amazing life. And if she's not really sick?
Well, I'd never speak to them again.
You'd never speak to them again.
You don't think Emily sounded...
What?
That she needed help?
That's why she called in, I guess.
No, I mean professional help, not from some fucking American dating advice podcast.
No, come on. We've become a lot more than that, Charlotte.
Emily, you said yourself, you've been happier, your mind is clearer, you're more productive.
It's true.
Then what's happened today that has altered that state?
I read that card from my sister.
I rest my case. You feel one way without your family, and when they reappear, you feel like this. You don't see the pattern? Emily, don't go back just so they can get their fix. You have to break this cycle, and it'll take strength.
What qualifications or credentials do you two even have?
I'm sorry you don't approve.
I find it offensive.
You're just addicted to it.
No, I didn't say that.
Oh, that's right. You just said you spent the last month listening to our podcasts.
Yes, to understand Emily.
When you left, did you sincerely intend that you would never see your mother and sister again?
You did.
You did. And we talked this through.
I was prepared for them to find me. You told me that would happen.
But?
But it's the whole being ill because of me and the idea that I could come back and she wouldn't be ill anymore. It's the responsibility of that. It's, to be honest, I just didn't think they cared so much.
Wait, so you're like, what, flattered? Look, I don't know what else to tell you. You were already living in another city. If it's just an arm's length relationship you needed, well, you already had that. You had to sever all ties.
I have complicated feelings towards it. I hate listening to it.
Right.
It's... You're both so fucking certain. But I guess that's why people like it. It's like clickbait. It's entertaining, probably, to some. I now see where Emily got all her new opinions from.
If that's a compliment, I'll take it. Can you imagine it still working without either one of us?
The show? Why, are you thinking of leaving because of this?
I don't think I should be the one to leave, do you?
Oh, I see. I'm your focus group now. You want it all for yourself. That's why you're talking to me now. You want to stab her in the back.
It wouldn't be stabbing her in the back. What she's doing here is not right.
Maybe if I just can call my sister.
I know where Emily is living in London.
You do?
Yes, I have her address and her new phone number, her email. I have all that information.
What? But you said you didn't. Give it to me. You said you couldn't see any details of the people who donate to the site.
She bought one of Lucia's books from the site a couple days ago. The shipping address and all her details were right there.
I'll be coming your way in the spring.
Oh?
Yes, my family and I are going to be in Paris. Kim from the podcast and her family might be coming too. We may even record a show from there. We'll just be in London for a few days after.
Can I see you?
Charlotte, I want you to go to someone there about this.
Like who? The police? It's not like it's against the law.
I want to see you when you come to London.
I'm not talking about the police. I'm talking about mainstream media, social media, liberal sites. They'll love this kind of stuff and they hate our podcast. They'll run with this.
I can't have all of this on the internet. It's a private matter. I don't want to escalate anything which my mum has to go through. Look, please. I just need to see Emily. Tell me where she lives.
Look, I'm not some sort of charity. That's the deal on the table.
You're blackmailing me? I told you how bad this is, how bad it could get, and you're fucking blackmailing me? Look, I'm begging you.
Yes, Charlotte. You've told me how bad things are. But I don't even know you. I don't know you anything. It's up to you. Take it or leave it.
Stay strong, Emily.
5. Late March. Lucia and Kim are in Lucia's home studio. They both wear headphones and talk into microphones.
Right. It's not about women or what they want. It has, and forever will be, Marxism in comfortable shoes.
State-sponsored programming inducing a euphoric sense of sisterhood in public.
A deep anxiety and indecision for women in private.
Just like the priesthood had to make you unhappy and damn you in order to offer you salvation, feminism uses exactly the same tactic.
When women are unhappy, they're going to seek political solutions from the state. At the end of the day, you have to truly ask yourself, Mia, what does feminism have to offer a happy and fulfilled woman?
Uh-huh. Nada is right. And what do you want your life to be? Do you want true self-esteem and to think for yourself? Or you want to remain in the grievance lobby, marching in a pussy hat and being exploited by the feral left like some political chess piece? Right. Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, it's heartening that more and more young women like you are realizing this and jumping off that train before it's too late. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Absolutely. Well, sure, you're going to get a lot of that working at Whole Foods. Oh, sure. Sure. Hey, if you're a 10, he's got to be no less than a 9. That's so great. No, thank you, Mia. It was our pleasure. Oh, yeah? Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Lucia makes a throat-slitting gesture to Kim.
Okay, I think that's all we have time for today.
Yeah, we've run over. But that was a fun little convo. Thanks to Mia for writing in, calling in, and also to all tonight's callers and, of course, all those listening in out there in the podosphere. I'm Lucia.
And I'm Kim.
And this was the Bottom Line Podcast. Arrivederci.
Ciao, ciao.
Want some coffee? Water?
No, I'm good. Thanks.
Want to record that message now?
Sure.
Whenever you're ready.
I'm going to go.
Okay, 3, 2, 1.
Are you a homeschool parent looking for help teaching certain subjects? Or do you want your student to study the history, languages, and literature of Western civilization? Memoria Press Online Academy has live online classes with master teachers to aid you with editable lesson plan templates. Their teachers have years of experience teaching, delighting, and moving students from literally all over the world. Your homeschool year doesn't have to be difficult. Visit memoriapressacademy.com and listeners of the Bottom Line Podcast with Lucia and Kim can get their first 3 online classes for free by entering the promo code Kim. That's promo code Kim at memoriapressacademy.com.
Okay, a couple of things.
Yes.
Who wrote this?
They did.
These are your friends, right? Okay. Cut master teachers to aid you with editable lesson plan templates. That's a horrible sentence. Aid? What's wrong with help? Just a good old simple help. They help you.
Master teachers to help you with editable.
No, none of the other crap. Just master teachers to help you. Then, their teachers have years of experience teaching, delighting, and moving students literally from all around the world, and so on.
Right.
And the promo code?
Yeah.
What's the deal?
What?
Kim.
That's my name.
Funny. The promo codes are always Lucia and Kim.
Sorry, I guess I wasn't thinking.
Okay.
They asked me and I just gave them that. I didn't think it was such a big deal. I'll email them, get them to change it.
You do that. Just as long as you're not planning to usurp me. Okay, let's try again.
Usurp? You're not the leader.
Excuse me?
We're a partnership.
We are. Which is why it's always been Lucia and Kim.
Right.
And I was joking. Is there something you want to say to me, partner? If this is about the second caller, it went well. It was a good conversation.
You were a little hard on her slash him.
He was trying to cause trouble. There was a malevolence in those questions. He was a troll and we sent him packing.
You sounded angry. Your tone was a little angry.
Hey, he gave as good as he got. Initially, it was a good debate. But he called into our show and he was on our turf. And come on, lecturing us about there being no biological distinction between men and women minutes after saying he underwent hormone replacement therapy to become a woman? Talk about a quackadoodle. We're not going to take any more shit from these people.
Right.
And I was defiant, not angry. If I was a man, you wouldn't call that anger. You'd say I was tough.
You could have just taken the high road.
The high road? What is that?
Okay.
We've been trying that approach for over a century. And what happened next when we took the high road? Communism, fascism, national socialism, leftism, third wave feminism, the rise of political correctness, of anxiety, mental illness, and personality disorders.
Okay.
Islamification, the flooding of third world migrants, and the cultural suicide of Western Europe.
Okay, let's just leave it.
It's been a catastrophic clusterfuck of biblical proportions, this rising above all that and taking the high road. Hey, it could just be that you want to remain as telegenic eye candy and don't want to get involved in the fight for survival, Kimberly. And I understand that, and I respect that. Actually, I shouldn't say I respect that, because I don't.
Don't fucking call me Kimberly.
Don't call you by your name.
My name is Kim, and I said I wanted to leave it.
Leave what?
I just don't get where this is going.
Where what's going?
The show, the podcast, the whole thing. I think we're totally moving in the wrong direction, and it's gonna go stale.
Stale? How can you say that? We're flying this year. Is this about the SiriusXM thing? Your heart's not been in this since...
Don't talk to me about that.
It's like suddenly everything we've been doing the last 6 years isn't good enough for you. I never should have told you about that.
Yeah, because that's exactly what we need more of around here. Secrecy.
What do you mean by that?
I've been visiting the forums more.
I know you have.
How do you know?
Because I'm God. I'm kidding. Why do you think? You can see at the bottom of the screen who's online, tech genius.
I'm kind of amazed how much you still post in there.
What can I say? I'm engaged with our audience.
I'll say.
I'm sorry. What exactly is the accusation here? Okay, fine. While we're on it, I think you should be more involved than you are.
We're recording 5 times a week. Isn't that enough? I just want to know when you sleep. You're like Stalin.
Are you jealous?
Jealous of what?
My rapport with our listeners. I'm doing more than you. That's your beef.
Look, I devote a significant portion of my day to this, of my life to this, and I'm just a little concerned that things are happening in between those times that is warping the brand.
Warping the brand?
Going on those boards, it's so fervent. When you write in there, it sounds fervent. Honestly, it's starting to look a little like a cult.
A cult? Why are you being such a Pollyanna?
You ought to be careful. We ought to be careful of how this looks. That's all I'm saying. And yes, SiriusXM is a factor. This is probably why they went cold on us.
How do you know they went cold?
Well, have you heard anything else?
And how do you know that's the reason?
Because.
How do you know that's why?
I don't.
That's right. You don't. You don't know anything about that. You know absolutely nothing. You don't even know that's why.
Well, why then? Because from what you've told me, they emailed you just the one time.
What?
You just implied that there's been more than just one email inquiry.
There were a couple of emails, sure.
A couple of emails? Like two?
There was an ongoing correspondence.
So it wasn't a prank? It was all legit, and what, you turned them down? You had no right to do that without consulting me first. And why can't I read these fucking emails? It's insane. This is our show.
Why are you logged into my Skype?
What?
I have two accounts, mine and the one I have with Steve. I'm logged into that now, and it's showing that my account is signed in. It's been happening a bunch recently.
Why would I log into your Skype account?
Give me your phone.
What?
Because I think you're spying on me, and you know the password because we've used it once for the show.
I don't have Skype on my phone.
It's okay. Just let me see it anyway.
I'm not going to give you my phone.
Why not? You're kind of being weird about your phone.
What?
Nothing. You are sneaky when you've had your head turned, aren't you? Sort of reminds me of that time we don't talk about. Wonderful husband Ryan worships the ground she walks on. Two beautiful children at the time. Great house, good friends, and full life. Kim really had it all.
Stop it.
See, wonderful Ryan, he has to go help his company set up in Dubai. He's away for 3 months.
Knock it off.
Kim meets Eric at a mall in Bloomington. Eric's a 3-time divorcee up to his neck in alimony and lives in a trailer park. But He's got a silver tongue and a big dick, and that's all it took to land our now lonely Kim.
That was a long time ago.
10 years.
11 years. And it was a different time. I was different.
And just remember who set you straight and kept you from making the biggest mistake of your life.
Can I get you a trophy? What was the point of all that?
It was a warning from history.
Look, I know how much you've done for me. Right. Are we on?
What?
Are we recording?
No, but we can be.
Count me in.
3, 2, 1.
Are you a homeschool parent looking for help teaching certain subjects? Or do you want your student to study the history, languages, and literature of Western civilization?
6. Late March. Charlotte and Emily at their family home.
You weren't expecting to see me?
No, it's not that. What's that smell?
Death.
It smells like...
regret? It's disinfectant. I just mopped. So, what brings you to this neck of the woods?
Charlotte, I...
So you're too late, obviously. But as you're here, there's some dresses and sweaters of hers you might like, and you always liked that lamp in a room, didn't you? I'll let you have that. Oh, and the MacBook. Also, there's still Dad's stuff up there. It's all got to go. I'd have a route around if I was you. Fill your boots.
I'm not here for that.
For what?
Things.
Why are you here? So talk.
I have no problem with you taking whatever you want to keep of Mum's, if that's what you want. What happened? How did she...
Heart failure. From stress. From you. They call it cardiomyopathy.
Oh.
You killed her. Nice work.
Charlotte.
It's true.
I did not kill her. I've only been away for 3 months.
Yes, well, that was enough. Our mum and dad always did have a disappropriate preoccupation with you.
I'm sure there were other factors. She was in her 60s. And the funeral?
What about it?
When was it?
Last Tuesday. I'd have invited you, but you know.
Was it...
good? Fun?
No. Was there a...
brass band? A magician?
Was it well attended?
Oh, standing room only.
If you need to get angry and shout at me... go ahead, shout at me. I know you're angry at me.
Actually, no. I'm bored of you, Emily. I'm bored of thinking about you and talking about you and trying to find out where you are and what you're up to and just what the fuck these last few months have been about.
You're staying here now?
For the time being, there's a lot to sort out.
Where's Andy?
I don't know.
You don't know?
It's back at our flat.
You two broken up?
No, I've just been a bit busy.
Maybe I shouldn't have come.
Yes, maybe. How did you find out, anyway?
I looked on our Facebook page.
I thought you left Facebook. Or blocked us, anyway.
I could still see.
Do you ever look at mine?
Sometimes.
Wow. So you really moved on without looking back. That just makes everything worth it.
Yeah, well, some things have been worth it. I'm seeing somebody new. I have a new job I love. I've been happier until I found out about this.
You disgust me.
Okay, none of that's true. Let's just pretend my life is shit, and I always did have to pretend things weren't going well or I wasn't having fun just to avoid putting your nose out of joint. But I'm sorry.
You're sorry?
For Mum, that you've had to go through this.
But not for disengaging. I know all this was from some American self-help podcast. What? You're surprised I know about that? We just pasted your indulgent farewell email to us into Google, and it all came up. You actually sent us a template letter from our website. I listened to the show when you called in, by the way. You sounded mental. You know it's a cult, right?
It's not a cult.
No?
I know her.
Lucia?
Yes. She's become...
what, like a pen pal? A friend you have to donate $50 to a month?
She's a life coach. She has a business. She lifts me up.
She lifts you up?
It's okay. You don't get it.
What don't I get?
Advancement. Evolution. Growth.
Oh, please.
See? You think that all that's just stupid talk and you sneer at it. But sometimes I think it's only because you're scared. I don't know. Maybe it would mean you having to change and you'd have to lose all your excuses. Maybe you'd rather just cling to the world with your eyes closed and hope it doesn't bark at you. But that podcast, Lucia, whatever, it's no different than reading a book or watching a film or seeing a painting or listening to music or any other fucking thing that makes you see things differently. Maybe you wouldn't feel so put upon or feel like some sort of martyr all the time if you actually opened your eyes a little. You know what your problem is? It's that I never wanted to be like you. That's really what stings. You hate me thinking for myself. It's just never been enough that I loved you like a sister, has it? I had to do what you do. Think how you think. See what you see. Believe what you believe. And I just don't.
Yes, well, I miss the days when you actually read a book. At least it gave you some fucking empathy.
I read books.
I've listened to that podcast. It's Darwinist right-wing shit.
No, don't. Listen to it. Where's the piano?
Why? You want to play some Wagner?
Where is it? Where's the piano, Charlotte?
I sold it.
You sold it?
I needed the money to pay for everything. Death's expensive. I took an executive decision.
That's a lie.
It's not a lie. We're talking close to £4,000.
You can lay your hands on that kind of money. You could have accessed that kind of money without selling anything.
You weren't there.
You fucking bitch. You did that out of spite.
In light of everything that's happened, you're now going to get upset about a piano right now?
We've had that since we were kids.
At the home you left.
I said I needed time away.
So it wasn't for good?
You sold that piano to hurt me.
I sold it to bury Mum and to pay for everything.
That has sentimental value.
Why didn't you take it with you?
Because it's a fucking grand piano. You always hated that I was good at playing and you weren't. When we were kids and I'd play for everybody, you'd always be in your room, sulking.
What can I say? I thought you weren't coming back.
Look, I'm sorry for what happened, yes. And if I had any part in it...
If? My God.
I wasn't to know that it would affect her health. If it really did.
I told you to contact me. I told you that you should come home. I told you she wasn't well, and I told you all of this.
How? When?
I left you a card.
What card?
I left a card at the reception where you worked.
When?
In February. Your friend Amanda told me you were temping in Canary Wharf. I came down on the train and I left you a card.
I didn't get any card.
Telling you that we were sorry if we hurt your feelings in any way, but Mum's health was deteriorating. We needed to see you.
Charlotte, I swear I didn't get any card. Look, if I knew that she was actually physically ill...
Don't say it.
What?
That it would have made a difference. Please don't say that.
Of course it would have. What do you think I am? Jesus Christ. Why didn't you ask for me?
I did. You were out on a lunch break.
Well, why didn't you wait for me?
Wait for you?
If it was that serious, why didn't you tell me to my face? You left it up to some random receptionist to remember to give the temp a card from her sister. Come on, Charlotte. I'd only been there 2 weeks. She probably didn't even know who the hell I was.
So it's my fault now.
Oh, look, it's nobody's fault. I didn't get that card. Please, believe me. If I had known...
You're right. I should have waited and spoken to you in person.
Hey, don't put this all on yourself. Maybe we both could have handled things better, Charlotte.
I really need to be alone right now. Please just go.
7. Early May, London. Kim and Emily are at a park. Lucia and Charlotte are at a train station.
We really didn't see much of each other when we were there. We were staying on opposite sides of the city. Hey, is that a magpie or a warbler?
Where?
It flew away. Forget it. You like ice cream?
Of course.
I don't. I know that's weird. But I can get you one if you want.
I'm good for now. Thanks. So you know all about me then?
What, your situation?
Yes. I'm guessing that's why you contacted me?
I know some. First, I wanted to tell you how sorry I was to hear about your mom.
Thank you.
I like parks. I like London. I like London parks. You know, Paris is finished. It's so sad. Not like I remember at all.
I'm sorry you didn't have a good time.
My parents took us when we were kids. It was a magical place then. But now...
Paris was like a war zone. Migrants and radicals running riots. Sounds of taser guns and firebombs from outside your hotel window. The whole city has turned into a U.S. college campus. Aside from that, it was incredible.
I'm sorry I asked.
But hey, I'm all in on you guys leaving the EU. Just don't fuck with Eurostar. That's a premium service. Whatever you do, you gotta keep that.
I'm not sure I've ever used it, actually. Always flown.
Well, you better. And soon. Before all hell breaks loose and they seal that thing right off.
I don't think that's
going to happen.
So the Harry Potter train platform, that's...
King's Cross. It's the station next to this.
Uh-huh. Been there. Okay. I'm fully oriented. Thank you. So you hate me? Is that what you wanted to tell me?
I don't hate you. Actually, I respect you for meeting me. But why did you meet me?
You ask nicely. And the curiosity, maybe. And hey, I'm in town. And I think I owe you that for what you've been through.
And your sister?
We don't speak. She thinks I joined a cult.
Yeah, she said as much when she and I spoke.
You spoke to my sister? She never mentioned that.
So why did you want to meet me?
To see if I could, I suppose. I wanted to see what you were like.
And how am I?
You're, not like I imagined.
How so?
In some ways, yes, but you're, I don't know, softer in person.
Like chubby?
No, not chubby. You're, I don't know, more...
More what?
You're kinder looking than I imagined you to be.
What were you expecting? Clint Eastwood?
I was expecting something. Something else, that's all.
Well, if we're going to keep playing this game, you're very British looking.
Okay.
You're both beautiful. It's sickening.
Thank you, I think.
I was sorry to hear about your mom.
Right.
What?
You don't feel responsible in some way? I know you and Emily, she severed ties with us at your encouragement. It broke my mum's heart.
It killed her?
Yes.
That's your interpretation.
No, those were the circumstances.
Have you seen Charlotte since?
Yes, I went back. She hates me. She thinks I killed our mother.
I don't think it's reasonable for you to take responsibility for the declining health of a 65-year-old woman.
No.
The circumstances are just that, Charlotte. You get a pot of boiling water and throw a potato in there, it'll soften. You throw in an egg and it'll harden. It's not the conditions. It's what you're made of. It's your constitution. It's your substance which directs how things go.
You're saying my mother was weak.
I'm saying there's a lot more to it, and your explanation is a little naive.
Don't laugh at me.
I wasn't.
Did Lucia ask you to meet me?
No. Why? Do you two not talk?
She won't respond to my messages. I think she's given up on me.
Given up on you?
I think I disappointed her when I told her I went back to see my sister. But then I think I gave up on her when she told me my mum being ill was basically a lie.
She said that?
Yeah. She said, yes, she didn't believe it. And I believed her. Now I just feel, I don't know, lost or something.
I just wanted you to know that you have my sympathy.
I thought you were anti-family.
I'm not anti-family. I'm pro-family. I'm just anti-corruption, with a philosophical approach to truth.
You think my family is corrupt?
Look, I just took Emily and what she told me at face value. She found me. She talked, and I listened. I gave her advice. But she's a grown woman. I didn't snatch her away in the night, Charlotte.
You don't think you break up families?
Me, personally?
Yes. You don't think that you're a...
What?
A leader of a cult.
A cult? Wow. No, I have ideas.
How can you justify saying you never want to see your family again?
Life is short. And if you can't get people to treat you well, then don't bother being around them.
It's that simple.
There's no innate ethics in biology, Charlotte. There's no innate morality in your family. If they don't love you in any measurable way, then...
You can't measure something like that.
Sure you can. If they don't value the same things, if they're not interested in what you're interested in or treasure what you treasure, then they're just a bunch of people who happen to give birth to you or you were born into. And just like any voluntary relationship, you can leave it. You can scowl and froth all you want, Charlotte. But if we got down to brass tacks and looked at your life, for example, and how those closest to you have behaved and treated you these last 12 months, you might have done well considering it yourself. I mean, wake up. Your excuses for your family members and your loyalty towards them is admirable, but it's not exactly been reciprocal, has it?
I don't have to listen to this.
No, you don't. You can leave at any time.
I'm disturbed about some of the things I've read and seen on forums, and I want you to know, Emily, that I am not involved in that side of things. I'm just not really involved in the online community. I'm more focused on the show we put out.
So, what would you do if you were me?
You really want my advice?
Since you're such an expert.
I'm not going to give you my advice.
Why? Because I won't donate to your site.
Because it's a waste of my time.
Why?
Because you don't want it. You want me to say some more things about you that you think are mean, so your feelings get hurt and you can think I'm bad, and so you can dismiss whatever I say. It's a waste of my time. What can I say? You can't light a fire with wet wood.
You're really getting big, it sounds like.
The podcast? It's grown a lot, yes.
You two make a lot of money off it.
The podcast? What, from donations? We don't draw a salary, if that's what you're asking.
Right.
The donations just pay for all the costs. But if we move to network radio, then I imagine that might be a different story.
So that's the big dream, then?
Radio?
Yes.
It's a goal, yes.
So what, you're both rich?
Excuse me?
You said neither of you need the money.
Not rich.
But well off.
We're comfortable. We married well.
Oh, well, look at you. Just like you preach. No, look, it's...
Emily, your relationship to Lucia, the nature of it, you do realize it wasn't unique.
Do you think I'm wet wood?
Do I think you're weak?
Yes.
Do you think you're weak?
I'm asking you.
Look, we don't need to...
I want to know.
You're not weak exactly.
Just not strong?
You have an endurance. Clearly. I don't know, you're a lot... I don't know, you're like a lot of women your age. In your position, you're normal.
I don't want to be normal.
So what? She, like, grooms people?
It looks that way.
Why? For what? Donations? Power? Her ego?
You don't accept the world as it is. You don't accept reality. You don't confront things as they are. You wish the world was different. You wish people were different. You wish your situation were different.
Is that so wrong?
What, wishing? You whine, you snipe, and you act like a victim. And you soldier on because you have that endurance, and that is strength, but it's wasted energy. And you do things that are ineffective because you're living in a pretend world.
What would she think if she knew you were talking to me about this?
I wouldn't want her to know, obviously.
You scared of her?
No, I'm not scared of her. She's done a lot for me.
Once you've accepted things the way that they are, and you've confronted reality, then you can start to change things. Then you'll have power.
Your sister told me she got advice from the Cult Information Center there in London.
And what did they say?
They say it sounds like it's a cult. The inner circle stuff, the tiered donation system, propagating dissociation from family.
You're worried how all this reflects on you?
Not exactly. It's not great, obviously, but like I say, I'm not directly involved in that side of it.
So what's the point of you telling me this?
I think there's an opportunity here for both of us.
Opportunity?
For you and I. Emily, you have a lot to feel angry about. Your sister told me about your dad, how you two were close, and his illness, and he passed away. I know how badly things were for you for a time, and how lost you were when you discovered our show and called in. I'm not saying Lucia didn't help you in some way.
Say, I'm getting kind of hungry. What time do you need to get back to Cambridge?
Trains are every hour, so...
How about we take a walk somewhere? Get out of the station, maybe grab a bite to eat. Come on, what are you afraid of?
Okay, sure.
Things have just gotten way out of hand. You leaving, and your mom taking it the way she did, and now your sister feeling the way she does. Surely Lucia has to be held accountable in some way, no? And I think you can help others through your experience. So nothing like this happens again. And I think there's an opportunity here to show your sister that all you're guilty of was being a little impressionable at a vulnerable time. I have a list of media outlets you can approach with this story.
What story?
Your story. The Guardian, the BBC, Huffington Post, Jezebel, Vox, The Atlantic, Slate Magazine, BuzzFeed, tabloids. Ask them to look into it. They love this kind of stuff, and they've covered our podcast before. It's a story that will get picked up.
I don't know.
I told your sister to do it, but she didn't want to. She wanted your affairs to be kept private. She didn't want anything to escalate. What your mom was going through, and maybe she was right. But it's different now. And coming from you, it would be way more powerful.
What will you do?
I can give you whatever information you needed at my end. The access I have and you telling your story, your mom dying, anyone who takes this on will be well informed, equipped with everything they need.
I don't know. If you feel so bad about it, why don't you just leave the podcast?
I've put 6 years of my life into that show. I'm not going anywhere. Lucia, she's the one who has to go. But come on, Emily, can't you see?
See what?
In terms of you and your sister, this is your chance to set the record straight. It could go a long way.
8. Early June, Lucia and Kim are in Lucia's home studio.
Why didn't you tell me right from the start they didn't want me? Why didn't you just tell me what they said?
Because I knew it would hurt your feelings.
I cannot believe they said that. We are that podcast. This podcast. For 6 years, you and I are the show. It's called the Bottom Line Podcast with Lucia and Kim, for Christ's sake.
That's what I told them.
And who is this other bitch they want you to pair up with? Some Twinkie from New York?
I don't know. She's up and coming. Her name's Madison Diamond.
Madison Diamond? I mean, is that even a fucking name? She sounds like a porn star.
She looks like a porn star. She's blonde, like you. Her dream is one day to be on Fox, like you. She's on something for NFL radio. Or maybe it's college football, I forget. She's good.
How do you know she's good?
I just listened to one of her shows. She's good. You know when you recognize someone who's good at something and you just think, she's good. She's like that.
Why'd you listen to one of her shows?
I was curious, but never heard of her.
You were actually considering this.
Hey, I was just curious.
I mean, did they explain to you why?
I forwarded their emails to you.
Yes, you did. And one of them mentioned a phone conversation had taken place. Did they tell you why?
What, in conversation?
Yes.
Why what? Why what?
Why they didn't want me.
Yes, they did tell me why.
And? Lucia, tell me. I want to know.
Look at you.
What?
You're like a bitch after a bone. Why do you want to know? It's only going to hurt you.
Tell me, it's not going to hurt me.
Okay. They just said they wanted somebody younger for balance. I have to admit, she is pretty hot. You okay?
Yeah, I'm just... Yeah. Well, fuck them. You're right. We don't need them. What we have here is special. You and I.
Yes.
This journey we've been on, and at the rate we've been growing these past 3 years especially, I mean, we're flying now.
That's true.
And it's not like something like this, but better, can't come along for both of us. For both of us, if we keep at it.
Sure. And the piece about the British girl that came out this week.
What about it?
You think we can recover from that?
Are you fucking kidding me? Of course you can recover from that. What? It made like BuzzFeed and what? Like the Daily Mirror in fucking England? Who cares?
I guess. There has been a spike in my book sales since all that came out.
There you go. You see? We're going to be even stronger. It all helps. And the episode downloads?
What about them?
Did those go up?
If book sales were anything else to go by, one can only imagine.
Can we check?
There'd be no use.
What?
There'd be no use.
What do you mean there'd be no use?
We wouldn't be able to tell because I wiped them.
Wait, what? Wiped? What do you mean you wiped them?
I deleted all our episodes. The Bottom Line Podcast with Lucia and Kim is no more.
You did what?
Yep. Go to iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, the site. There's not a trace of us. Same with the YouTube channel.
You're putting me on.
See for yourself.
Wait one second. Look, you're completely overreacting here, all because of that piece? That 6 years of work right there. You had no right to do that. Do you still have the files?
The backups?
Yes.
Nope, all gone.
Are you fucking crazy? Why are you doing this?
You keep up this dumb blonde act, and I fucking swear.
What the fuck are you talking about?
I know it was you.
What was me?
I met the older sister while we were in London. She told me everything. What you tried to get her to do. You did the same thing with the younger sister too, didn't you?
You've lost your fucking mind. That's 6 years of work.
Don't change the subject.
That's your work as much as mine. This is your life. Why are you setting fire to something we've worked for?
Because I'll survive.
How?
What planet do you live on? What do you mean, how? I've written books, Kimberly. I'm going to satellite radio. What you got, huh? What have you got lined up? I'll be A-okay.
You're not going to go with them. That's not you. You don't even want that.
Says who? I told them no at the time, but I changed my mind. And now we're on. What can I say? I'm going to the pros.
Okay, look, I'm sorry, there's been a major misunderstanding here.
What misunderstanding? Fuck you.
Please don't do this.
You don't tell me to do or not to do anything ever again. You hear me? Everything I did for you, and this is how you repay me? But you're right about one thing. A tabloid in Little Old England and BuzzFeed. Talk about holding the grenade and throwing the pin. You stupid fucking cunt.
9. Early June. Charlotte and Emily at their family home.
Andy and I have broken up, so I'm here now, for good.
I'm sorry.
Why? I'm not. It was time.
Can I ask why?
No, it's none of your business.
Fair enough. So?
What?
You didn't answer my question. The article?
Yes, I read it.
And? What did you think?
I'm just confused by it.
How do you mean confused? I mean, I just told them how things went. I told them everything. Of course, I was misquoted a little, but, you know, that's to be expected.
I don't really understand what you thought it would achieve.
You serious? Look at everything that's happened.
I know, but it reads like you're just a victim.
Well, I am. Charlotte, you were right. What she does is not okay, and you were right. She's like some digital platform personality, some, I don't know, some online avatar that comes in through your headphones or that you see on a screen that makes...
I don't even know what that means.
She's just a voice on an MP3 file, okay? And I'm trying to say you were right. She's not here, is she? She doesn't know me. She doesn't know us. She doesn't know Mum. She doesn't know Dad. She wasn't there. She just throws a load of shit at the wall and some of it sticks. She's like a horoscope. I don't know how I got so caught up in all of it, but I don't know how I got so caught up in all that. But if my story, our story, helps to blow the lid off all that, then, you know, maybe it won't happen to anyone else.
It was page 29 in the Daily Mirror. Who gives a shit?
Charlotte?
Yeah, you've done a tremendous service.
Don't be like that. I thought you'd be happy. Did you see the retweets?
Why are you here?
Why? To see you. Charlotte, I miss you. And I'm sorry.
Okay.
And I want to come back. I want to leave London. You're all I've got. I'm all you've got. And we can get past this. Well?
You didn't tell them everything, did you?
Who?
The newspaper, the writer, or whoever you told. You didn't tell them every little thing, did you?
What? I mean, I told them as much as I could remember, as much as I knew. You know, from my side of things. What do you mean?
Like, you didn't tell them about the day I left the card for you at work.
Well, no, I mean, that was just, it didn't seem...
Because you read that card, didn't you? You got that message. And that wouldn't make you look so good.
Charlotte, we've already been through this. You know that I didn't get that card. We've already been through this.
Lucia told me you did.
You spoke to her? When did you speak to her?
I met her in London, face to face. She's very real. And she told me about you and that note.
When did you meet her? Why? How did this happen?
She remembered you telling her about my card.
Well, she's mistaken.
I don't think she is.
She's lying.
She's not lying. You are lying.
I am not lying.
Emily, she basically recited it to me. How would she know that? I mean, how would she know what was in that card? Who are you? What the fuck is wrong with you?
Charlotte, you and I, we're all we've got now. We're family. Look, I don't need your permission to come back to Linton.
No, you don't. You can live anywhere you want.
I can.
You just can't live in this house. This is my house now.
You know that's not true. I'm going to move in. I already gave my landlord notice. Half of this is mine. And we'll draw a fucking line straight through the middle of this floor if we have to.
We won't. Mum left it to me. All of it. I'll let you take whatever possessions of Mum's and Dad's that you want, but this house is mine.
Don't you fucking try it on with me. The house is intestate. It's split between us. She never made a will.
She made a will.
No, she didn't. She said as much at Christmas. Why would she lie to me about that?
She didn't lie, but she made a will.
When?
February. Must have been around the time I went to London and dropped off that card.
She cut me out.
Not quite. I mean, you were never in, were you?
Why would she do that?
Because you said you were leaving the family. What was she supposed to do?
And I bet you were standing there right over her shoulder, weren't you? You piece of shit. Fuck you. I'll fight this.
With what? You don't have any money.
What's this? A backbone all of a sudden? I'll figure something out.
You do that.
Charlotte, come on. We're family.
Not anymore.
10. Lucia is in her home studio in Linton, Indiana. She wears headphones and talks into a microphone.
So, before I make that special announcement, give you folks the big news on where you'll be able to find this show in the future. Before you get to hear about all of that, I'd like to address some of the events of this past week, things you may have read, and with some new things that have been brought to light.
Charlotte pedals her exercise bike. She is wearing headphones.
You know, there's an old parable, not biblical, it's a fable, about when a greedy man and an envious man met a king.